Today on Seculo, the ACLJ files a major lawsuit against the Biden administration.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
I'm holding my hands for those of you watching on Facebook, Rumble, Periscope, wherever you may be watching, YouTube. And I want you to share this with your friends and family as the ACLJ has filed yet another lawsuit against the Biden administration, this time on our because of our southern border. The numbers just staggering. I will walk through again exactly where we are with those numbers, but first I want to tell you what we're doing. So following a court battle last year over an older Freedom of Information Act request by the ACLJ, we sent a new, refined, and more targeted set of FOIA requests to DHS, that's Homeland Security, CBP, Customs and Border Patrol, and ICE, regarding the various critical border issues like human trafficking and other humanitarian and security disasters the Biden administration's border policies have caused. Think about this, in just over a year into the Biden term in office as president. I mean, all of these. Now, two of those three agencies did finally respond. One did not, but they did not respond sufficiently in compliance with the FOIA law. So while we are on air, this lawsuit that I'm holding will be filed in federal court to demand the answers that we rightfully should receive under the Freedom of Information Act law. Before I go through exactly what we're requesting, I want to update you on where we are on the border. Just staggering numbers. So in total, there were 178,840 encounters along the Southwest land border in December. That's just in December. 178,000, almost 180. That's a 2% increase compared to November. So it keeps going up. Two Department of Homeland Security officials say that border officials are preparing for as many as 9,000 border arrests per day by spring. That is 63,000 arrests a week. And then where do those people get housed? Does another humanitarian crisis occur? Kids in cages, all those things that we've talked about before. And just for some perspective here, in July of 2021, that was the peak of last year's rise at the border, daily migrant arrests averaged around 6,500. So we're talking about a significant increase. That was bad enough, but up to 9,000. I want to go right to Andy Economo, senior counsel with the ACLJ, because Andy, alone, just dealing with 9,000 daily arrests at one part of our border, and then having to process those individuals and decide who gets returned, who has to stay in custody. This is a disaster in the making. It's already a crisis at our border, and this is another disaster coming our way.
It is a disaster, Jordan. When you imagine that you're talking about 9,000 arrests per day, 63,000 arrests per week, that's the size of small towns and counties throughout America. I mean, 9,000 people a day being arrested. It's not 900. This is 9,000 coming out to an average of 60,000. Multiply that by 52 weeks in a year, and you've got a figure that is beyond belief. But that is what's happening in our southern border through these errant policies of the Biden administration. It's shameful. It's not consistent with their policy of the border being, as they say, inviolable, which means sacred. It's busting all our border policies to shreds.
Imagine this, folks. This is the number that they think they can apprehend, 9,000. How many people are not going to be apprehended? How many people are going to be the, quote, gotaways, as DHS calls them? We come back and talk to Than Bennett about what's going on Capitol Hill to try to, again, secure our southern border. I know that Ukraine and Russia, that's a serious issue. I know that China's a serious issue, but so is protecting our own border. I mean, our own national sovereignty, and making sure we're doing everything in our power to secure that border and make it a job that the Customs and Border Patrol and ICE can actually do. Give us a call. Is this affecting your community? 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back on Seculo.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Seculo. Again, we're taking your phone calls because this crisis at our border, it's just continuing, and the Biden administration is trying to let you know it's going to get worse. It will go from 6,000 or 6,500 arrests per day, which was already huge last spring, to what they're predicting is 9,000. 9,000 arrests per day. Now, that doesn't include the people who will then, quote, are what they call gotaways. I want you to understand that. They took a situation at the border that was being solved. The Trump administration didn't have a problem calling it a crisis and a problem that needed to be solved. They started working on ideas, new policies like Remain in Mexico, working with the Northern Triangle countries, again, also building the wall in areas that needed a wall where it would work to deter migrants from trying to cross illegally. So with all that's going on in the world, the crises in Ukraine, in Russia, and the threat of China, we still have to make sure that our southern border is secure and that we have our sovereignty. I want to play this from a U.S. Senator, a good friend of ours, been on the broadcast many times, Senator Lankford of Oklahoma. Take a listen, Byte 14.
The Biden administration proposal and their detailed plan on what to do on the border is working exactly as they planned it to work. No one will ever convince me this is an accident. If this was unintentional, they would have already responded to be able to stop it.
You know, Than, what's connected to this as well is not just the human, massive human movement of people that then the federal government has to deal with all these different agencies, which then leads to humanitarian crises, but it also is the drugs. We've seen 1,000% increase in fentanyl, which just a tiny, I mean, I've seen on TV, tiny little dots of fentanyl can kill an adult male if it's mixed in with some other drug that they think someone's taking. And in fiscal year 2021, at just 8 ports of entry, they seized 87,000 pounds of narcotics with an estimated value of $786 million. I mean, it's close to $1 billion. But from October 1st, 2020 through September 30th, 2021, they seized 41,000 pounds of marijuana, 8,000 pounds of cocaine. But here's the kicker. Here's the kicker. 588 pounds of fentanyl. Now, that number is increasing 1,000%. We have an estimated 100,000 plus people in America that died from a drug overdose in the 12-month period ending last April, and we know that fentanyl is the key to a lot of those drug overdoses. So it's not just the people crossing illegally, it's what the cartels are bringing Than. And so you've got this double crisis hitting our country, both at the border and then when they get dispersed. But second, the drug crisis, which just is killing Americans.
Jordan, it's a multi-layered crisis all across the line, and I totally agree with Senator Lankford on this. I actually do think that this is by design. This is a policy that was intended to get the result that we're achieving. And quite frankly, if you look at the FOIA litigation, the FOIA lawsuit that we're filing today, we hit on all of these points, Jordan, because this is not just an issue of, you know, mass crossings at the border that are illegal and then not being able to process them. It's the domino effect. It's the trafficking that occurs. It's the recycling of children that we've talked about on this broadcast so many times, where a cartel will use a child to get across the border, send the child back across the border so that another cartel can use that child again. And Jordan, yes, it's the drug epidemic that is literally killing mostly our young people all across the country. And you know, you posed a question in the last segment of the broadcast, Jordan, that I think we really need to key in on here. You said, you know, with these 63,000 arrests, where will they house them all? Well, Jordan, we know in a lot of cases they're actually not trying to house them. We know that they're intentionally busing them all across the country and then just releasing them into the population. So it's no longer just a border problem. It's a problem that's really spreading all across our country. And I know we're going to get into it in a later broadcast, but Jordan, I mean, we've only touched the tip of the iceberg on the drug issue. The United States government is literally a part of the problem here. They're not only not trying to solve it, Jordan, they're perpetrating the problem.
Oh, no, listen, the crack pipe issue that's arisen and the left saying, no, that's false. We're going to be addressing all of that second half hour of the broadcast, breaking down how they claim that they're providing crack pipes. Not true. That's false. And I mean, they got Snopes to go for them and say, oh, no, what the right is saying is not correct. But then I'll just read to you from Snopes in the second half hour of the broadcast, because this all works together. The fentanyl gets here because of our poor southern border. Same way the people get here illegally. It creates dual crises, because Americans are dying because of drugs laced with fentanyl, and the fentanyl is coming over because of our poor southern border. And then on top of that, you've got the crisis of the individuals. Now, Andy, I want to go to what our lawsuit is requesting, because what our FOIA initially requested. The first thing we asked for is records of information provided, talking points to the U.S. Department of Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas or his immediate subordinates, listing the totals of illegal border crossings or any demographic or other such statistics. That's one. And there's seven. I'll read through a couple right now. Records or information prepared for or transmitted to the White House listing the total number of illegal border crossings, unaccompanied minors or women, excluding any personal identifiers of victims. So we're trying to get personal info, or legitimate law enforcement records. We want to know if these numbers are even correct and if it could be worse.
That's right, and it probably is, and that's what we are seeking to find in our Freedom of Information Act litigation, as we always do at the ACLJ. We have now focused and refocused refined our lawsuit, I should say, to find out exactly what kinds of things are happening at the border, with the crossings, the unaccompanied minors, women, regarding the issue of human trafficking or exploitation of women and children. We've asked for that information, and we want to protect the unaccompanied minors and women from trafficking. What are you doing, Biden administration, to protect them from doing that? And other things that we're asking for in the litigation is why they discontinued Operation Talon, which was so successful under President Trump, and other things of this matter. But mainly, it is a porous border, and with the porous border, you have the drugs coming in, as Than went over and you went over earlier in the program. They're just pouring in by the truckloads.
You know, I want to play this bite. A reporter talked to Senator John Cornyn. He said he had bipartisan legislation to address this. Take a listen. The White House just ignoring it.
Republican Senator John Cornyn says he reached out across the aisle to help. He and several Democrats co-sponsored the bipartisan Border Act. And the White House response?
The Biden administration has shown zero interest in that or any other solution.
Zero interest. I mean, Than, bipartisan solution, and you've got Senator Cornyn, top-ranking Republican in the U.S. Senate. It was from Texas, so knows this crisis very well. And even when it's bipartisan, they have zero interest in those solutions.
Jordan, I hate to be a cynic, but every step of the way on this issue, it sure seems like there's a desire in Washington, D.C. for the issue to be alive come election time. I mean, look, comprehensive immigration reform has always been a difficult one to get through in one fell swoop, but there have been so many efforts during the course of this year where it should have been easily bipartisan. I mean, the first one that comes to mind is an effort that our friend Senator Blackburn put forward where it said, look, if a child comes to the border and is looking to cross into America and that child is in the custody of an adult, let's make sure that that adult is actually related to them. Let's make sure that they're actually a guardian of them and they're not a cartel, because we know cartels have been using children to get into the country. Jordan, that was an effort that couldn't get bipartisan support, and I'm just shocked that it couldn't. I know there is bipartisan support, but there was a desire not to solve the issue in advance of the elections. That's really the only explanation I can come up with. And the other one I would just put out to you, Andy alluded to this just a minute ago, but Operation Talon, this effort that the Trump administration had to say, we know there are sex criminals illegally present in the United States. That is going to be a priority for us to find them and for us to ship them back. Jordan, that program, Operation Talon, it was disbanded by the Biden administration. I cannot think of a legitimate reason to disband an effort like that. If there is something that is a higher priority than removing a sex criminal who is illegally present in the United States, Jordan, I'd love to hear what that is.
So in our FOIA, as Dan said, we focus on seven things. I told you the first two. Here's the third. It's the records of any interactions or communication between the secretary and the White House regarding the issue of human trafficking or exploitation of women and children. This is a key issue for the ACLJ, human trafficking. We have been involved in this at many levels, at the state level, federal level, but now, of course, with this poor southern border, it becomes a major issue. And as Stan said, we had an operation by the Trump administration to specifically address that, Operation Talon, the human trafficking element, and they disbanded it, the Biden team. I mean, what is happening to those minors, those vulnerable people? They love talking about vulnerable people, but yet when it comes to actually assisting and helping them, people who are really facing the abuse, who are really being taken advantage of, they end that program. Was it just because it was a Trump program? Maybe, or do they just want to totally make Customs and Border Patrol and ICE completely ineffective and unable to do their job? There's four more points we get into in it. We're going to get back to that as well. I want to ask you this question, too. I know it's a personal question, but is this drug crisis affecting your families? You know, you don't have to get into personal details, but we hear about the numbers. So I want to hear from you, because it affects every community. It doesn't matter if you're poor or rich, white or black. 1-800-684-3110. Give us a call.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Be Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
All right, welcome back to Secular. We're going to get to your phone calls as well, because in the second half hour of the broadcast, we're going to get into this crack pipe issue that you've seen, the government providing this. And again, they're saying, no, that's not true. We're not providing $30 million of crack pipes. Well, yeah, it's in a program that's providing also needles and other items, so that, again, instead of stopping the flow of fentanyl and illegal drugs at our southern border, we are providing actual drug users the devices to use. And this is at a federal level. And the way that it's couched in racial terms, to me is also disturbing, because it's as if that's the only communities dealing with it. And let me just say, we all know that's not true. We all know that the flow of illegal drugs that are killing Americans is not a black issue. It's a black and white and all Americans. It's rich and poor. It's affecting all families. And that's why I asked you to start calling in now, if it's affected your family. You don't have to share a lot of personal details, but just, has it had an effect on your family? Because I think from our audience, what you'll learn is that it crosses over demographics. It's not one racial group who is experiencing this problem. It's all over the country. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I want to go through, again, specifically what we're doing in federal court. So we're filing this as we speak against the Biden administration, their Homeland Security, Customs and Border Protection, Immigration and Customs Enforcement. We talked about the human trafficking. We specifically ask why Operation Talon should be, or was paused, postponed, or canceled. Why did you decide, Biden administration, that program was ineffective to protect minors and women from human sex trafficking? Why on earth? Like Stan said, he can't come up with any explanation. So that's what we're asking for. Why did you do it? We go on and we ask for records leading to and regarding the removal on or around April 6, 2021 of a Customs and Border Patrol press release from its website announcing the arrest of two individuals who were named on the FBI terror watch list. Andy, this brings up another issue. We've talked about the drugs. We've talked about just which kills Americans. The massive influx of people, which also affects American towns and cities, and creates a humanitarian crisis. The sex trafficking program to stop it being ended by the Biden administration. But we also know that they put up a press release. We've always talked about that it is an easy place for those who want to carry out terrorist attacks against Americans to get into America. They put up a press release identifying two arrests that were people on the terror watch list, and then they removed it. And we want to know why.
That's exactly right, Jordan. If you put up on the website, on the internet, information regarding people who were on the named terror list of the FBI, the terror watch list, and they came in illegally, and then you take it down, you don't want that on there. What you're trying to do clearly is to hide from the public the fact that terrorists are coming into the country through the southern border illegally, right under the nose of the Biden administration. But we don't want everyone to know that. We put it on there, then we take it off so that you don't know the terrorists have come in, and we want to know exactly who did that. Who made the decision to take those terrorist names off the list? Why did you make that decision? What prompted you to do it? Those are the kinds of searching and probing questions that we are seeking in this very comprehensive, detailed, and focused lawsuit that the ACLJ is filing in federal court in Washington just today. We want to know, why are you taking off these names of terrorists that were on the watch list, from the list of those who came into the country? What was the motivation behind that? We're going to find out.
I mean, hundreds of thousands of illegal border crossers, they think that they're going to have to deal with 9,000 arrests a day in spring. That's 63,000 a week. That's up from 6,500 last spring. That doesn't include, by the way, all the people that get away. They call them gotaways. But our final point that we asked for in our lawsuit, again, because we are committed to this issue of stopping, especially in the United States of America, human trafficking and sexual exploitation of minors and women through human trafficking. So we ask, what communications? Because we first say, why was Operation Talon, which focused on that, ended? And then second, why? You know, what were you communicating? What was the purpose there? Was it because, oh, we just want to end all the Trump policies? So again, this is filed in federal court, probably as we speak right now, holding in our hands. We'll get it on our website later today at ACLJ.org. But again, Than, I go back to this. I want to play Congressman Chip Roy, Bite 12.
Americans are in danger, and importantly, migrants are in danger, being sold into the sex trafficking trade, being put in stash houses to then be putting into the slave labor trade, all giving money to the cartels.
So we think about that, Than. Americans in danger, the drug crisis in America, human trafficking, sex trafficking, forced slave labor. This is and money to cartels happening in the United States of America.
Jordan, let me make a quick comment on both of those last two points. First of all, on the issue of the press release being pulled down on those who were known to be on the FBI terror watch list, we specifically want to know two things. One, did you release those two individuals? Are they running around the United States right now? And secondly, Jordan, how many others did you arrest and just didn't put up a press release? And did you release those as well? So that's number one. On the issue of human trafficking and sexual exploitation, Jordan, I really do think this is the most important issue touched on in our litigation. Congressman Roy, a good friend of mine, is exactly correct on this. Look, whether it's an American child or a Mexican child or a child from Latin America, when we know this kind of trafficking is taking place and we know the most poorest portions of our border where cartels are exploiting it for this purpose, Jordan, we, as the superpower of the world, have an obligation to control that border in a way that keeps these children from being exploited in such a way. And all of these policies, I start with Operation Talon, but then I go to not DNA testing at the border and a whole number of things that we lay out in this litigation. Jordan, we are failing those children, and their exploitation is really at the hands of this failure on these policies. We want to know who, and to that last point that you read, Jordan, we want to know if they were confronted with the evidence that we know is there and chose to dismiss it out of hand when they made these decisions.
I want you to share the broadcast, if you're watching it right now, with your friends and family. So whatever platform you're watching it on, click that share button, because we come back, we're going to get into this crack pipe issue. And that's a crude way of explaining it, but I know that you all know what I'm talking about. So we're going to get into that in the actual facts. But I wanted to take a moment just to, so you understand the scope of the ACLJ's work, and we're going to get to your phone calls as well, how this illegal drug epidemic, especially because of fentanyl, is affecting your communities, your family. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us in air. We'll start getting to those calls right when we come back from the next break. February 9th, we filed, ACLJ filed a lawsuit against three Biden agencies over border security issues. February 11th, a new deadline for the Biden administration to file answers in our ACLJ versus State Department lawsuits against four agencies over the abandonment of Christians in Afghanistan. February 11th, a joint status report in the ACLJ versus State Department in the FOIA lawsuit on the Kerry-Iran shadow negotiations. February 11th as well, a status report due on the ACLJ versus ODNI, NSA, Swalwell on the Fang Fang matter. February 11th, another joint status report due in the Uranium One FOIA. February 14th, ACLJ versus HHS, the FOIA lawsuit on federal funding for experimentation with aborted babies' body parts. February 15th is a joint status report due in COVID Origins FOIA lawsuit. And then finally, on February 17th, a joint status report is due on the FBI FOIA on Comey spies. This is our FOIA practice in the month of February. Support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. We're going to start taking your phone calls, too, and share this with your friends and family, because now we're going to get into this whole crack pipe issue. I'm going to start this way. It starts with executive order, and then we'll get to your phone calls about how, and I appreciate how many people are calling in to share how this drug crisis in the United States, a lot of it stemming from the fentanyl crossing our southern border, which is a killer, and just tiny, tiny dots of it can kill an adult male. I mean, so it doesn't take a lot to be in a pill that you think is something else, and then your life is over. So we know that the crisis is real. But it all starts with Executive Order 13985. Now, I want you to listen to the title of it. Executive Order on Advancing Racial Equity and Support for Underserved Communities. So racial right at the top. Then when they talk about the harm reduction grant program, this is where the crack pipes come in. They talk about that the priority populations for this program are underserved communities that are greatly impacted. Underserved communities are defined under Section 2 of the executive order that I just read you from, 13985, which starts with racial minorities, which we know is not true. We know that the drug crisis is much bigger than in the black community. That's almost, in a sense, not fair to the black community, because the white community and every other racial community is dealing with this drug crisis. People are dying from across, across the economic spectrum, from across the different regions of the country. It doesn't matter, you know, really how they were raised. I mean, these drugs are killing Americans. They're killing American kids. They're killing parents. And it doesn't matter what the color of your skin is. The problem is that big. But they want to identify it that way. I want you to understand, it is the left, it is the Biden administration that identifies this as a racial problem specific to it. The first community they list is the black community in America. So what will they be providing with this $30 million program? Harm reduction vending machines, including stock for machines, some testing kits for HIV. Not all of this is bad. Medication lockboxes, FDA-approved overdose reversal medication, safe smoking kits. That's the crack pipe. So it's there, in plain language. And not only is it the kits, also the supplies. It also includes sharp disposals and medication disposal kits, substance test kits to test for fentanyl, because they realize that's the real problem, but also syringes. So they're going to say, inject it, smoke it, we'll take care of you because we know you could die from this. Instead of focusing the resources, again, you can help people. I'm not against helping people with drug addiction, and I think the federal government can play a role there. But providing them the tools to do the drugs doesn't get them off the drugs. And if you don't stop the drug flow at the southern border, then it's not going – this is just a vicious cycle that just keeps repeating itself. But what is wild here, and again, I will get to your phone calls. I just want to get this all out there, is that when this was fact-checked by Snopes, and you always have to be careful when Snopes fact-checks things. Sometimes they're right, but a lot of times they're wrong. They say this claim about crack pipes is mostly false. Now, I just read you exactly. It's not only crack pipes. So if you say only crack pipes for $30 million, you're not being accurate. But it's not false. So this is what they write. In 2022, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Substance Abuse Harm Reduction Grant did require recipients to provide safe smoking kits to existing drug users. But priority would be given to applicants serving historically underserved communities. Again, making it this racial issue. What's false that Snopes says? This was just one of 20 components. I went through them with you. I'm not trying to hide those. Of the grant program, and far from its most prominent, the purpose of the program was to reduce harm and the risk of infection among drug users, not to advance racial equity. Now listen to this. Not to advance racial equity, although that was a secondary consideration. So Snopes, what did I say before I read your piece calling this false? That was false. We'll be right back. 1 second.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
to talk to us on air. And I want to talk to folks, and again, you don't have to give a lot of personal data, but just, is this drug crisis affecting your family? Because it's all connected to the border as well. And is the border crisis affecting your community as well? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Because we've talked about these horrendous policies putting forward, providing crack pipes, which, by the way, that's not false. It's true. Just make sure when you say, yeah, they're providing other things too, like syringes. So you can use needle drugs or smoke your crack. And they're not doing anything. In fact, they've prevented a lot of the programs to try and stop the fentanyl flow at the southern border, because if they're arresting, they think they're going to be having to arrest 9,000 people a day in the spring when the weather improves. Okay, think about that. How many people are getting through? And how many of those are drug traffickers? And the drug traffickers know what to do. They know that if you send a bunch of people one way, the resources go there, and then they go the other way. And then the fentanyl gets here. And it keeps getting here, and it takes a very small amount to kill an American. I want to go to the phones. First to Philip in Texas on line four. Hey, Philip, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Great show. Greatly appreciate all you do for the kingdom. You know, from 17 to 27, I was in this world of drugs and you know, since turned my life around, and now I'm an elder at a church, and I work with rehab facilities that work with 13 to 18 year old boys from all over the nation, and the faces are many of different backgrounds and different ethnicities, and the majority of them, after talking to these kids, is that the how readily available these drugs are. And how it's the opioids that are majority of the issues that are out there right now.
And what they're doing when they manufacture these opioids is they are putting fentanyl in them. I mean, that's so people think they're taking an opioid, which can be dangerous enough, but then it's laced with fentanyl and they end up dead. And I think what you pointed out, Philip, and I appreciate your phone call and for, you know, you're telling your story, but also what you're seeing, again, across racial lines, across economic demographic lines. It's affecting all corners, and it all ties, goes back to our border. It goes back to the southern border and the crisis there. And again, when the HHS spokesperson says this is blatant misinformation about the crack pipes, I just want to list for you again. There's a list of about 15 things. Right in the middle is safe smoking kits and supplies. Those are crack pipes. They are being provided with that $30 million. It's not all, I'm going to be fair, Not all 30 million is paying for crack pipes, but some of the 30 million is. Now they're trying to claim it's false. And I hate, and I don't use that word lightly, that they couch this as a racial problem, because it's not true. It's not fair to racial minorities. This is an American problem, the drug deaths. And I want to keep going to the phones as well, because we're talking about the border issue as well. Lisa Marie, thanks for holding on. Calling from Utah online too. Hey, Lisa.
Hi there. Good afternoon.
Hey, you're on the air.
Hi there. Good afternoon.
Hi.
I'm calling in response to regarding how fentanyl crossing the border would affect my family, or how drugs in general may have affected my family. That there, I'm taking that off the table, any history of drugs, because the fact is 500 pounds of fentanyl that we know of, crossed our border. And while 9,000 people a day are crossing that little hole that by Dan has left for us, and I say by Dan, for all you Q folks who know about tribes, whereas coming across the other side of our border?
Well, the other side of the border has been pretty locked down, as you see these protests from the Canadian truckers. And again, I'm not saying there's not problems there, but it is not even close. It is not even close. And when you talk about 500 pounds of fentanyl, it's not like other drugs. It takes tiny, teeny, tiny amounts to kill people. I mean, you can look that up. Even adult male. Tiny, tiny. I mean, like, where if you put it into like a jar, you could barely see the amount that would be killer. So if you have 500 pounds of it, think about how many Americans could be killed by that 500 pounds. I mean, listen to Tom Homan, who was the former director of ICE, talking about this very issue of Americans being killed because we're not securing our border and preventing these drugs crossing by 18.
What they have done to this border is criminal. I mean, they keep talking about Trump's policies were inhumane. Deaths have doubled. Migrant deaths have doubled the first year under Biden. That's humane. 100,000 overdose deaths of fentanyl got across the border. That's humane. 31% of women being sexually assaulted making that journey. That's humane.
Dan, it's all the topics our FOIA that now is a federal lawsuit we're filing today is talking about. The drugs, this human trafficking, the sex trafficking, the migrant deaths, the American deaths.
Jordan, it's a travesty of epic proportions that's occurring all across the country. It's the opposite of humane. It's a travesty. And I think back to Philip's call just a couple of minutes ago. I mean, it's affecting every cross-section of society that you can name. So to try to delineate it by racial lines just is not doing justice to those who are suffering and dying from this. And Jordan, you know, I'm also quite offended by the fact that they say, well, it's misinformation because we're not spending $30 million just on crack pipes. There's a lot of other things that we're spending it on, too. Jordan, look, here's what I would say. Okay, $30 million for crack pipes and all these other things, maybe some of them are okay. Here's what you need to do. You need to take every single red cent of that $30 million and you need to spend it down at the border to keep these drugs from crossing the border in the first place. Because if they don't get in, they can't kill our sons and daughters and those who they're killing right now. So, Jordan, look, maybe some of these other things are not as offensive as the crack pipes, but all $30 million should be spent to keep those drugs out.
You know, I want to go to Jay in Texas on line one. I completely agree, and probably a lot more. It probably costs a lot more than $30 million to do it. But you have to be committed to do it. The Trump administration was. They've undone all those policies. Jay in Texas on line one. Hey, Jay.
Hello?
Yep, you're on the air.
Oh, no, I'm Jerry.
Oh, hey, Jerry.
Hey, bud. No, I just want to say I live in San Antonio, Texas.
Yep.
And there's always news reports down here in this region. The Border Patrol, Bexar County Sheriff's deputies are always busting people with these drugs. And it's fentanyl, it's marijuana, it's heroin. So it's coming through. You're right. It's coming through. And another concern is that a lot of these people that are coming to this country, by what I understand, they're not being vetted. So we don't know if they have a criminal past, where they're from, etc.
Yeah, I mean, 2 points on that. One, right now in America, you can use your arrest warrant, so if you're apprehended at the border, as a way to travel, like by airline. You can use that as like your proof of identification. But Andy, to the bigger point here, to really stop this problem, whether it's the migrant problem, illegal crossings, plus the illegal drugs, would take a massive commitment to a new law enforcement program at the border. And it just appears that that just doesn't line up with the Democrats' politics.
It does not, Jordan. You are absolutely correct. It is not consistent with the Biden administration's policies to have drug interdiction at the border. And the result is we have wide open borders. And I want to say that I am appalled and I find it abhorrent that this executive order says to promote racial equity, we're going to the African-American communities and we're saying to them as if they are the ones that are really the prime offenders, which is false, which is totally false. And we're saying we're going to, for example, give you a crack pipe so that you can use it and safely use it because that is what we think is the appropriate remedy here. In other words, it's like giving an alcoholic a drink of liquor and saying that's going to help you out because this is a higher quality bourbon than the kind you've been drinking. So you drink this. All that does is exacerbate the problem and make it worse for the drinker, in this case for the drug user. I cannot imagine being in the United States of America in the year 2022 thinking that my government is spending $1 on providing drug paraphernalia to drug users instead of using that for drug interdiction.
Listen, this has been controversial at the municipal level, cities like New York and Los Angeles doing this. Now it's gone federal, folks. So, it's not just, you know, where you've got your local leaders that are responsible directly to you, that you may or may not like, but they're, very direct municipal leaders. But now it's gone federal to help provide more. And I think that the bigger picture we need to look at here is that Americans are getting killed. It's not based on skin color. It's not based off how wealthy they are. It's based off fentanyl-laced drugs coming through the southern border. The last year, that was $100,000. And Kimberly on YouTube wrote in, what is the left's obsession with their savior complex? It comes off condescending and subconsciously sees minorities as the ones needing the help instead of all Americans who are being, and all American families who are being affected by this. I think Kimberly, you're absolutely right. Why divide racially on this issue when we know that's just not the facts? That's just not the truth. We'll be right back in a second.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
back to Secula. We're going to continue to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. I appreciate those of you who have called in and shared how this drug crisis has affected your families, your communities. And it's all, again, ties to how we started the show with the southern border into this crack pipe issue, which the left is trying to say, no, that's not true. And how they're saying it's not true is, well, don't just say the money's going to crack pipes. It's also going to needles. And I want to go to Bill's call first, and then some pretty shocking stuff coming out of the Justice Department. But Bill in Montana online, too. Welcome to Secula. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. My question is, how does this now affect our law enforcement agencies? What are the ramifications for them stopping someone with illegal drug paraphernalia that they've gotten from our government? And it also probably puts their lives in jeopardy.
Well, and then, again, yeah, it makes it very difficult for law enforcement. And now listen to this new development. So a year after winning, this is from the AP, a court battle against the opening of so-called safe injection sites, safe havens for people to use heroin and other narcotics with protections against fatal overdoses, the Justice Department, the U.S. DOJ, is signaling it might be open to allowing them at a federal level. So I'll go to Andy again, which is exactly the question. How does law enforcement deal with this?
Well, law enforcement doesn't deal with it by encouraging the use of heroin and crack pipes and going to places to get these kinds of materials for use. You are overwhelming law enforcement. You are undermining law enforcement. The Biden administration's policies are harming law enforcement. We cannot deal in this United States with what we anticipate, for example, to be 9,000 arrests by this spring coming across the border, bringing with them illegal drugs through the cartels. You are killing law enforcement. You are not promoting law enforcement. You are not helping police to do their job. You are not helping safer communities. You are exacerbating the problem and making it much worse by these policies.
You know, I mean, when I look at it, Than, as well, and I'm not getting into this to be nasty politically, but the president has had his own family members, one of them, deal with this. So when they couch it in those racial terms, if the son of a president of the United States has had issues with these kind of illegal drugs, crack and crack pipes, you would think they would be a little more careful before they said this is a black problem.
Well, it's affecting everyone, Jordan. And I mean, look, white, black, or otherwise, everyone who is suffering from this represents a life that is worth saving. And the U.S. government should be focused as a laser beam on saving those lives. And look, you know, just to go back to Bill's call for just a moment, because that kind of underscores this point, Jordan, it is actually a violation of federal law, of U.S. law, for the United States government to do this. In a letter from Senator Blackburn to the Department of Health and Human Services asking for more information about this, one of the points that she brings up, Jordan, is that it is a violation of U.S. Code Title 21, Section 863, which says this: it makes it unlawful for any person to sell or offer for sale drug paraphernalia. I mean, Jordan, this exact program, this grant program, violates U.S. Code Title 21, Section 863, and Senator Blackburn wants to know why. First of all, they shouldn't be violating the law, but Jordan, when people of every cross-section of society are dying by this, from this, the U.S. government should care about every one of those lives, regardless of what race they are.
Yeah, I mean, this is, I just think that they're trying to play politics with an issue, and Americans are dying. And Andy, when you've got this mass amount of drug use, you go to the law enforcement side of this, from the police to the Customs and Border Patrol to ICE, and to the prosecutors themselves. And, you know, it puts this bizarre situation where, okay, this drug user was using drugs at a potentially in the future now a federally approved facility with a crack pipe or syringe provided to them by the federal government. You know, how do you prosecute that person?
Well, you don't. You don't prosecute that person because they have a complete defense. If I prosecuted for 47 years, okay? If someone came into court and I was prosecuting them for using a crack pipe or having drug paraphernalia in their possession, and their defense was, my government gave it to me, my government paid for me to have this, what do you think a jury or a judge is going to do? They gave it to me. They encouraged me. They promoted this. They violated the law. Now you're coming after me because I used what the government provided for me? I'm not going to get very far in court. This hamstrings prosecutors. It destroys drug prosecutions in the United States. It undermines the whole process of drug law enforcement that we have been prosecuting for decades and decades in this country. Undermines it and destroys it.
You know, Sarah on Facebook writes, and I can't believe they're providing drug paraphernalia instead of therapy, counseling, and rehab. I'm sure there are some federal funds going to that as well. But then, those are solutions to solve this crisis. Just like Operation Talon at the border was a solution to solve human trafficking and sex trafficking at the border and trafficking of minors. Instead of solutions, they're just looking at these like stopgap measures to encourage drug use in many ways.
Exactly correct, Jordan. This comes back to the lawsuit that we're filing today. We are insisting that the federal government actually stem the tide here. I mean, we're pointing out the fact that the policies they currently have in place are not only not addressing the problem, Jordan, they're exacerbating it. They're making it worse. They're increasing the volume of trafficking and drugs flowing across our border. So we want to know two things. We want to know, first, on a broad scale, what are you going to do to stop it? Why did you reverse these policies that are working? And how are you going to stem that flow? And then, yes, Jordan, there is an obligation for the government to also provide some options for actually prescriptive remedies, right, for addressing the problem that exists. But unless you address the first one, Jordan, unless you're actually committed to stopping the flow over the border, the prescriptive solutions, Jordan, they're really irrelevant because you're not going to keep up with this problem until you get a control on it on the border. And I really think this lawsuit, Jordan, this litigation is at the center of this. We've got to shine a spotlight on what the administration is doing, the turning of their head away from the problem, and it seems to me, Jordan, like there's sort of an indifference to getting to the root of the problem. That's what we're after.
Yeah, I mean, instead of Andy saying, you know, we're going to increase law enforcement, we're going to give them more tools at the border, we're going to save American lives by doing so, we're also going to make sure that we don't create humanitarian crises for these migrants. Instead, they are doing the exact opposite. They've unwind or stopped all of those programs, and we hear from those law enforcement officials every day in the news that they can't do their job.
Well, that's exactly right, Jordan. In other words, you're telling a drug addict, don't use that crack pipe. It's not as safe. Think about this. The United States of America is going to give you a glass pipe that is safer for you to smoke your crack cocaine in. Don't use that syringe. We're going to give you a better syringe so that you can inject the fentanyl and other substances into your body. Can you believe this is happening? I find it incredible. I can't get my mind around this, Jordan.
No, and folks, again, I appreciate all these phone calls and comments that have come in. I think what has been made clear by those calls, and by our statements, and by the truth and facts, is that this drug crisis pandemic, with fentanyl, is not a white issue or a black issue. It's an American issue. It's not a rich issue or a poor issue. It's not a Northeast, Southeast, West Coast, Midwest. It's everywhere. And it's affecting American families. 100,000 people died because of that fentanyl just last year. And they think that the numbers of people coming across the border are going to increase from 6,500 to 9,000 a day of people they can actually stop. And when that happens, the drug traffickers go to the other areas to get the drugs across. We're going to continue on this issue. We've got the lawsuit has been filed in federal court. Support the work of the ACLJ financially at ACLJ.org.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.